and you move on to something else. Now, remember, you're written down as a record. A non-book for many years, and you don't ever do it. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about a different kind of recipe. A recipe that we find in Psalm 103. And I hope will challenge us and encourage us to praise the Lord. As we read, as we decorate, and we go through all the Lord has done for us, I believe it will give us a basis and a more reason to praise Him than we've ever done. The main point of this message is this. And I hope this message will be a pretty simple, straightforward message. Purpose we did it today, something a little bit different than what we've been going through in the Book of Hebrews, and especially as we celebrate communion today. But the main point of the message this morning is this. And we are called to praise God with all of our being. All that is within us, body, soul, and spirit. And we also do not forget all our senses. We are to praise God with all that is within us. And do not forget His benefits. We so easily forget, we so easily become complacent of us with all that the Lord has done for us. And once again, it's amazing how the song, especially music, has kind of played right into the theme of what we're looking at this morning. I think there's a couple of benefits that comes from praising God and remembering His benefits, not forgetting His benefits. I don't want to keep us, and this isn't under grandma, but this is sort of a secondary call here. Just to keep us humble.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. And
all those who hear me, pray to the Holy Name. This is the word we recover. A lot of that is word as well. It becomes the very word gospel holds such deep meaning to us. I actually wrote the Hebrew a word out there, not for you in any way, but I wrote to be able to tell me the Hebrew word in the Hebrew, you read it right to left. And so you see the word in Hebrew, the first letter is a now, the second word is a ha. The little line there is a law, and the letter so it is for the meaning of the ha. So that's the translation, and the title of it is Yahweh. So some translations have pronounced it Jehovah, and as the German pronunciation, in the 1800s, a lot of the German scholars were involved with the translation of the Bible, and they used the German pronunciation, and that's how we get the word Jehovah. It's not all that important, but it's important that we understand the meaning of the word Yahweh. We're told in Exodus 7:3 that God said to Moses, who asked him, "Who did I say is sending you to Israel, Lord? Who did I say that you are?" And God answers Moses and says, "I am." It's the word Yahweh. It's the word Yahweh. And he says, "The I am is sending you." What does this mean? Well, it's actually a play on the verb of being. The verb of being in Hebrew is Yah, and so Yahweh is the third person. So he is, or he is in. What does it mean that he is himself invisible? He says to Moses, "I am the self invisible. I am the one who needs nothing, I need no one. I exist. And have power in and of myself, apart from anything else, apart from you, apart from creation. I exist alone and separate from it all." From all. I was trying to explain that book. There never was a time that God was not. There was never a time that God did not exist. He existed before time began. In fact, he's the one who created time. That's why over and over again in the Bible, it starts off with, in the beginning, love. In the beginning, God. God created the heavens and the earth. And it says in the Bible that many times. Then we have the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that is talking about the Word being Christ. And we'll touch on that. So, Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, God introduces himself to Moses, and he says, "I am the I am." What did you work with? Now, Moses says that he is holy. Over and over again in the scriptures, God says of himself, "I am holy." And so we should thank God because he is our creator. He's self-existent one. He is the one that he sets apart from us and beyond and above us. And he is the one who is also holy. In Exodus chapter 3, when God called out to Moses, and Moses is not sure what's going on here, he sees a bush, it's burning, but it's not in room. And God speaks to Moses and he says, "Moses, Moses." God says, "Holy God, the Holy One was there." purpose of God was there, and he is the Holy One. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 45:5-7, speaks about this, and the day we talk about this, we're going to have that scripture for us. Who is the Lord, and there is no other? Apart from you, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you will not acknowledge him. So, from the rising of the sun to the place of the setting, people may know there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. And I am Lord, there is no other. It's more than 7 times in the book of Isaiah alone that God says, I am God, and there is no other, there is no one like him. I am Lord, and there is all these things. Let me tell you some interesting things to know this. Very interesting things. Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 through 13. This word is going to be or if this is called the strong one of Moses.
Who among the gods led you, O Lord? Who has led you, Magus, the holiest, ultimate glory, working wonders? You break out your main hand and you are strong. If neither your hunger alone you will be with evil, you have your king. And you will drink, you will die in him, your holy dog.
The first thing is holiness. So he is the one who is the heart of all things. He is the one who is separate from us. And we're told over and over again, the Lord is holy. Well, what does the Lord holy mean? We know from sin and what does it mean? Well, the unity our vision is that it is moral and ethical perfection. But here's something very interesting. The word holy literally, in its base meaning, means to be separate, to be apart. In order to try to explain God's holiness, we say that he is totally separate from us. He is totally other than us, because we are not holy. God is holy in that he is morally perfect, ethically perfect, and we are not. So the word holy has a connotation that he is completely separate and apart from us. He is holy. So not only is holiness described in the word, and even God sends to us, and from the people, he says, I am holy, therefore you, my people, are to be holy as well. I am holy, therefore you, my people, the ones who represent me, the ones who are following me on the earth, you are to be holy as well. This is our first ingredient. God, the one true God, is awesome. Godly, the self-existent one. He exists apart from us, and separate from us, and he is holy. Completely other than us. He is perfect, and majestic, and holiness. This is our first ingredient of why we should praise the Lord. There's another ingredient. Right before we go to the test, I need to say this. All the ingredients, words, are encouragement to us. This is the God that we love and serve. This is the God that we should bless, that we should praise with all that is for him. When we come here together, this is really going to be a corporate celebration of what we're doing all day long. When we come in the morning, we don't need to thank and praise God for the rest of our month. We want to thank God that we're able to stand up in light of strength and health. We want to be grateful for our loved ones around us, for life and family, who is one of the pure things that they have not given us. We don't want to understand from the church in the New Testament all that is happening in him, we live and move and have our being. This is our God. The Holy One, the one true God of all the earth. This is the one sense, it comes from Jesus. And so we are praises. Amen? We are the praises for who he is. So let's start with reading. So let's pray that not only do we praise the Lord for who he is, Yahweh, we should not forget all the benefits that he has given us. These benefits are given to us by something we are becoming people. We are becoming people as the Old Testament believers were becoming people under the Old Covenant, and we are becoming people under the New Covenant in Jesus Christ. He tells us here, watch this, do not forget all of his benefits. I'm going to take this with you for a moment. Why does he say that? Why does the Lord say this to us specifically? I think it's because we personally forget. Do not. We go easily all into the path of taking things for granted. The same thing. When we think about all the things that God blessed us with, I know for us, we know that so often, but it's just not a little more. Love. He will always accuse those who are tank or whatever, because we're treated as a sin that's deserved. What we have, according to his iniquity, so our cries as heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And so, this is sort of the overarching statement of God's goodness, his character, his iniquity to us. Whatever he says is love, this is a specific word in the Old Testament, it's heaven love. It's a very specific kind of love. In fact, in your language, there are different kinds of love. Well, in the Old Testament, there are several different words used for love. And this is the word heaven love, which is a kind of love. It's unerring, unending love for those who fear him. Now, what does that mean for us today? It means that if you fear the Lord, then you have obeyed his words, and you have put your faith in Jesus Christ. The Lord says, I will provide a way for your sins to be forgiven. I will provide a way for you to have atonement for your longing, instead of sacrifices, there's one true sacrifice of atonement, that is, his son, Jesus Christ. So when he says, when you hear the words of those who fear him, it means that you have put your faith trust in Jesus Christ and his incarnate. Well, let's try to examine some ingredients that he has for us. A, it says, no one forgives us of all of our sins. Another thing, he forgives us of all of our sins. This is foreshadowed in the Old Covenant by the sacrifices and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ in the New Covenant. Now, let me ask you something. Aren't you glad that you don't need to make sacrifices anymore? You don't need to make a cow, or an oxen, or a lamb, or a ram, and throw a stroke, and throw out the blood, and do your sacrifice. You don't need to do that. Because the Lamb of God will sacrifice for you and for me. Therefore, our sins, all of our sins, are forgiven. What's that? Galatians 4, 4 through 5, John Walters is going to read that for us.
But when the time he had fully come, God had sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. To redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights.
We were under the law, but God redeemed us and gave us sonship, sorrow. We had a child from the sons of the So all of our sins are forgiven. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him, that is Christ, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, so that we might become in him the righteousness of God. So he first forgives all of our sins. All of them, you might ask? All of them. There's only one sin that we do not forgive. There's only one sin that God cannot forgive. It's called the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. In Mark chapter 3, verses 28 and 29, the Lord Jesus himself says, all sins will be forgiven of man. Except one. It is the sin of blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, you are saying that the Word of God is the work of Satan. Jesus was doing miracles. He was casting out demons. He was healing people. And the Pharisees said, oh, he cast out devils by the work of the devil, by the power of the devil. And Jesus said, you are calling the work of God that which is Satan. Jesus is not something of the Holy Spirit. And what they're doing, they're rejecting him. And so, in a larger context, it's rejecting Christ. There's only one sin that you can forgive, and that is if you reject Christ. Because it's the will of which we are forgiven. All other sins are forgiven. There's also a poem on this past week. He says, to those who
everything away from you so that you have to sit in a room all by yourself and pray all day long and meditate and say, Kumbaya, and say, Kumbaya. That doesn't know what he wants to do. He wants to have life and life to the full. He wants you to be blessed in everything in your life. So they move ahead by God, the American.
You are holy. You are perfect.
and the forgiveness of everything. And Lord, we don't live in that forgiveness. It's not just the sins of the past, but you have forgiven us. And we live in your forgiveness and your grace every day. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you for blessing us with all of your kindness. The humility of me. Turn our attention to the table of the Lord. For love to be thankful, let us praise you with all of our hearts. Let us remember the sacrifice of Jesus. The benefits for our forgiveness. All that he did for us. Let us feel thankful and a praising people. And we can glory and honor with all that he